Hello, it's good to be back here in Second Reformed Presbyterian Church. It's been a while, but the Lord is blessed, and it's good to be back to see many of your faces. I would like to start our time with looking at the Old Testament. Dr. Roy Blackwood always said, if they can't find it in the Old Testament, what you're studying in the New Testament, then it's not there. So let's turn first. That's why I'm first going to go to Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 30. And James is talking about stories, and of course James was, I think, just a high schooler when I was in second RP growing up, so it's good to see him continue to be with the Lord and following his ways. And of course Dean Filson was there with me. Lots of good stories come back to mind, but we won't get into those stories. We will never get to the Word of God, and we want to get ourselves out of the way and get to the Word of God today. And I've been reading, as trying to get through the Bible every year, and this is where I was reading. And when Danny Cutter just came up with this fishing and canoeing trip, and he asked me to do some devotions, and this is where I was reading in the Word of God, and this is my devotions I'm giving you tonight, but I've just expanded it a little bit. So we're looking at David here in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. He was in a difficult situation, but we're going to read verses 1 to 6. So listen as I read from God's Word. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag that on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, and Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans was the last chapter I preached through in Clarinda before I retired on my 75th birthday. I preached the last sermon in Romans. It's a good book. They're all good books. Let's turn to, we're going to just really look at the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. Now, in Clarinda, we were a little more informal. It seems like reaching out in Clarinda was oftentimes to some who were down and out. Had a man that came to faith in Christ. He was bipolar and had come from the mental hospital and had married another gal who was bipolar and had a lot of baggage, but he loved the Lord. but in the middle of my sermon, he would give comments for it. You know, we were kind of informal. He would tell me some things about my sermon and ask some questions. You know, I think maybe that should be the way it should be. I'm not sure that we need to just have one guy up here giving you the Word of God, but I think we, if you have a question in your mind, and he had first church he had grown up in, and I mean first church he had been in for a long time, and he didn't know how to behave in a church, and it didn't bother me. He just came up with a question, so I had to answer right there on the spot. But it was good. It was good. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we have a clock right here. That's a new element here that wasn't there before. I guess they don't want you to go over time, huh, on your preaching. It's a good thing. I don't know if I'll pay much attention to it, but it's a good thing to have. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces to the heart of our minds. And you know, I think the reason David was able to go through what he did and stay strong, even though his own friends wanted to kill him. I mean, they were so grieved; they lost their sons and daughters, their wives. They're all captured and taken from them, and all they took, they said, David. So they turned to someone to blame someone. They had to blame someone, so they blamed David. And so they said, oh, they wanted to kill him. Well, why? It's kind of crazy, but they blamed it on him that this all happened to them. But I think David, again, had been in God's Word, and I think that's what saved him in this situation and made him strong. We have to remember that, even in our age, because David, at this point, was before he sinned with Bathsheba. So, this was up ahead of him, so he even fell in his sin later on in his life. We as elderly now, my wife keeps saying, well, how come my daughter is riding a bicycle after she broke her ankle and tore some tendons, and I tore this tendon and I can hardly walk? Well, it does view that as we get older in our ages, we don't heal as fast. So that happens. But in our Christian life, we can't lower our guard in our older age. We need to keep firm and stay strong in God's Word. It's just as important now as it was 30 years ago. And we should not forget that. Well, David, and it doesn't say this, if you turn to Romans chapter 119, that's where we all sang all the Psalms. I picked from, not Romans, but Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And it doesn't tell us in this psalm that David wrote this, but some good commentators believe he did, and I too agree with them that I believe it was David that wrote this psalm, but I'm going to take you through this briefly to see what David says about renewing our mind, the importance of that. Starts out there with that one we sang there, and Psalm 119b, verse 9 and 10. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Very important, very key in our lives. The Word of God is hidden in our heart. We continue to memorize it, meditate on it, read it, study it, listen to it daily. Because that is God, what God is saying here is going to help you young men as well as us old men to keep our hearts pure. Then in verse 15 and 16 of this psalm, now, as you know, in this psalm, almost every verse talks about the Word of God. It's amazing how I could how that happens, but it is. Almost every word, every verse in this chapter talks about the Word of God. But many of these verses talk about meditating on the Word. Verses 15 and 16 says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. David meditated on God's precepts, that is his word, daily. That was then made that they were his delight. And he continued faithful in that. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. When we read God's word, we need to realize that we need to ask God to open our minds. And I try to do that each time I come to the Word of God, ask Him to open our minds. We might see wondrous things from His word. As in our dull minds, it's not just us that can understand this. God has to give us the understanding, and we need to trust Him to do so and ask Him to give us that understanding. Verse 23 in this same chapter, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. You may have many people in this world speaking against you and your faith in Christ, and there are, every place you look, there's people not desiring the Word of God and desiring what you're speaking about. But it says, princes may sit against you, but your servant meditates on your statutes. We need to meditate on God's Word. Very key, very important. Verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so that I shall meditate on your wonderful works. Again, praying, David's praying, asking God that He might give him understanding so that he might meditate on that word throughout the day. That's why we need to start the day with the Word of God, so that that word is in our minds throughout the day, so that we're meditating on it as God leads us.
Verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Again, the way that we turn away from looking at useless things is having God's word in our hearts and our minds. That is what's going to help us turn away from looking at useless or worthless things. And that's a battle every day. We're tied into a battle in this world. The world wants to suck us, even as Christians, into their mold. As that first passage says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, but present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world. The second point there. Do not be conformed to this world. So easy to get tied up in this world and be sucked into it. We can only have the victory in God over this by the Word of God as we meditate on it day and night. So the next verse then is verse 48 of this passage. Verse 48, "My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, I will meditate on your statutes." David purposing to meditating again on God's Word. Verse 78, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts." David was treated poorly oftentimes, but he again, especially in this time in Ziklag, they wanted to kill him. Even his friends, his buddies, his comrades wanted to kill him. But he had meditated on God's Word, on God's precepts. He kept strong through it. Verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all your day. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers." And that's the psalm we sang before I started, Psalm 19M. So we're studying God's Word, and we can have more knowledge, more understanding than our teachers through God's Word. He loved God's law because he had meditated on it day and night. You should meditate on God's Word day and night. Verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for that your testimonies are my meditation." And then in the last verse, 148, "My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." When you get to my age, sometimes it's hard to sleep at sometimes in the night. But God gives us an answer here. What we should be doing, we should be meditating on God's word. And you all, some of you know and remember a man who did this faithfully, Ken Thompson. Elder here, and for many years, a very humble man. And he, when he couldn't sleep at night, he got up and he started memorizing God's Word. And he memorized much of Peter's works in the Bible. And so to the point where he did presentations where he presented himself as Peter and just quoted scripture after scripture that Peter had written. Amazing. A man of God that God used greatly in many situations. And God can use each of us in those ways. So first, we need to be, we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Our bodies are God's, given to us for a time. And we're to, you know, in Romans there, Paul was speaking to Christians in the Church of Rome who were his comrades, Jewish believers, as well as Gentile believers. And he asked them, they both needed to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He urged them to present their bodies in that way. For their bodies, he said, were not their own. They were given to them as our bodies are not our own. They're given to us to be used for His purposes in this world. Take care of your bodies, of course. You need to take care of the body that God's given you. But seek to use your skills and your abilities for His purpose, whatever work you're in. And of course, as I mentioned before, do not conform yourself to this world. The way of the world is not God's way. The way of the world is Satan's way. Most commercials on television are Satan's ways, man's ways. They say, just do it, or just do something for yourself today. They want you to impress you upon the importance of selfish ambition in your own life. Stir up that. Be careful. Turn away from those selfish ambitions that the world wants to suck you into. But continue to transform your mind by the renewing of your mind in God's Word, as David did. Of course, our Savior Jesus Christ gives us the best example of this of all. Fully God, but fully man as well. Fully man. Tempted in all ways that we are tempted. Turn to Matthew 4 with me. Very amazing passage on the way Christ used the Word of God as we should follow His example. Chapter 4, when He was tempted by Satan there in the wilderness. Verses 1 to 6. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Because He hadn't had food for 40 days and 40 nights. He'd fasted. But He answered and said to Him, "It is written," Jesus says, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus, if Jesus had to use the Word of God to defeat Satan, how much more do we have to use the Word of God to have victory in our lives? Then the devil took Him up to the holy cities, set Him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Satan said, "Well, if you're going to use Scripture, yeah, I know Scripture too. I can give you Scripture right back." And so that's what Satan does here. And he can do that to us too. Then Jesus said to him, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took Him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship Me." Then Jesus said to Him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Then the devil left Him. Behold, the angels came and ministered to Him. Jesus Christ, being fully God and man, saw the need to use the Word of God, what was in His heart, to defeat Satan. How much more, like I said, do we not need to have that Word of God at our tip of our tongue, in our minds, so that we too might have victory over the temptations that Satan still throws at us. Jesus was an amazing example for us, each one of us, as we go to work tomorrow, where we're going tomorrow, to defeat the temptations that come our way. Of course, throughout the Scriptures, there's many men that used the Word of God in that way. Another elder, that very humble man, was here, had a great example in my mind, and was Bob Heinberger. Some of you remember him. Bob Heinberger was a neurosurgeon, very gifted man, and used his skills that God had given him for God's glory. And I remember going out door to door with some of the guys here just not too long ago. I like to go door to door and talk to people about Christ. You know why? Because it sharpens my mind. I have to trust God to give me the words to try to help this person that needs the Lord. It's on the other side of the door. And Bob Heinberger regularly presented the gospel to his comrades, his other doctors who were he worked with. And the way he did it, was he had his own style, basically, of presenting the gospel. He would take them through the whole Bible, and present Christ to them. That was how he presented the gospel to his comrades, to his gifted doctors who he worked with daily. Amazing man of God who was very humble. I remember my wife, before we were married, going with Dr. Blackwood and Bob Heinberger to Pennsylvania. And they stop at Dr. Blackwood's brother there in Ohio on the way. And his brother opens up his restaurant. He had a restaurant. Opened it up and fed them. And after they fed them, Dr. Heinberger says to my wife, "Hey, how about you and I do the dishes?" Gifted man with his hands, willing to do the dishes and having that idea. God works in the hearts of our lives to teach us His ways. Throughout the Scriptures, men of God, Moses, Joshua, Peter, all turned to the Word of God and depended upon that, meditated upon it, read it, studied it. And Jesus, in John chapter 15, said this about that, meditating on God's Word. John chapter 15 and verse 7. He said, "If you abide in me, if you abide in me," well, Satan said, "if you are the Son of God." He's saying to each one of us, though, Jesus is saying here to us, "If you abide in me, in Jesus Christ, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you." What a promise. What a promise that Jesus gives to each one of us. As we abide in Him, and His Word abides in us, He's saying, "Ask whatever your desire is, and it shall be done for you." Know that Jesus Christ has given us the answer in this book. He's given us all we need for life and health to share the gospel with our friends, and the co-workers. It's all in here. Ask Him to give you the strength and the power and understanding from this Word of God that you might continue to renew your mind in His Word. For only in that, as the Spirit enables you, will you have success in this life. As I said, Joshua has a key verse on that. And many of you know it, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. You may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. God's Word is the key here. Don't ever forget it. No matter how old you get or how young you are, it's the Word of God that will give you the success that you're looking for in life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, we do praise you for the bodies you've given each one of us. And we thank you that you have asked us to give it to you as a sacrifice. And you've asked us also to turn away from the world's ways. And you've given us a way to do that through your word, through meditating on it, memorizing it, hiding it in our hearts and lives. We thank you, Lord, for those who preach the word so we can hear it preached. We thank you for the word of God that's always readily available for us to study. Help us to study it as well as meditate on it and memorize it and seek it day in and day out. Lord, you have given us a great, precious tool. Help us not to neglect it. For it's in your name we pray it. Amen.